Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Oh, man. Welcome to another fun-filled, educational, debate-driven episode of Black Opinions Matter. My name, as always, is Amin Alhassan. I'm joined by Black Trey, John Gervais, and coming back, the people's champ himself,
Mariano Bivens. What's up, baby?
What's up, man? What's going on, G? How y'all? How y'all, man? Y'all look good. You know what I'm saying?
I see you with the do-rag.
The do-rag version, easy. Man.
No vibes, man.
Before he put it on, though, like, I saw the hairline. Now, Mari, you've been edging up your own hair, right?
Yeah, for like a couple months.
You just started now during the pandemic. This wasn't something you were doing
this
before?
This is something I've literally never done before.
Did you have any, like, worries? Like, man, what if I make irreversible damage?
Bro, listen. The thing that stopped me from doing it, like, prevented me from doing it sooner was, boy, if I mess this up, this ain't something you could just be like, you know what? Like you know how you lose in the Madden? You could just quit and just start another game. Like, you can't just exit to menu on your hairline and just restart. You can't do that. You got to wait and hold another cycle. So, yeah, I was nervous. I really was.
But it's like playing, like, Final Fantasy or one of them games. You got to start all the way over at the beginning.
So is the barber canceled from here on out now that you know how to do this?
It's not necessarily canceled because my barber's a good dude. Like, I like kicking it with him anyway. Like, you know, we still keep in touch and, you know, we text and talk about, you know, rap and just whatever else going on. So it ain't necessarily canceled, but I've been saving a lot of money, too. And I kind of like saving money. So, you know,
I mean, like, kind of liking it. Yeah.
If I put it like this, if I want to fade, I'm going to him because I've been watching videos on like fades and all that. And I'm not messing around with none of that.
So, Mar, you weren't here a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about this. Mm-hmm. But when I'm on Instagram, I find myself anytime, you know how they have those ads that'll come on your timeline you're going through, and then all of a sudden there's a post that's an ad. Anytime they got that man with the golden clippers, I will watch that ad to the end because they make it look so easy.
Listen, bro, that's why I started lining myself up because the videos, I'm like, it's been this way the whole time? Like, it's been this easy the whole time? Nah. And it's really not. It's really not. Like, you get up there, you start doing it, you're like, all right, my shit don't look like the video. His shit was sharp. When he hit his in the corner, I had to go on my shit like five times. Like, now I know. Now you get nervous in the chair when your barber go to that same spot like nine times and keep brushing. And now I know why he did it. Like, now I'm like reaching out to my barber. Like, I understand now, bro. I get it.
It's giving you empathy.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, when I see that golden clipper go to work, I'll be like, whoo. They just go whoop, whoop, whoop. Now it's all gone. And then like fade it up real quick. Like edge, we done.
That's it.
I'm like, man, how can I be down? All right. We got a lot of topics today. I want to start. We're gonna get into Bubba Watson, the whole NASCAR thing. We're gonna talk about apparently Swizz Beatz beef with Drake. I did not know this, but I want to start with something that applies to three out of four of us. Sorry, Trey, or maybe not. Maybe also Trey. Father's Day. Father's Day was yesterday.
It does not apply to me, so I'm gonna sit this one out.
Are you sure about that?
Wait. I am not the father, and you found out last week.
Yeah. So, a lot of people hit me up with the Happy Father's Day text, and I gotta tell you guys, this is the most annoying thing in the world. Because then I gotta respond back to all these people. If you haven't gathered, I'm not one for these big holidays. I don't care. And the only reason I do anything is because my kids get excited, and I just want them to feel like it's appreciated. So they all made me cards and stuff. But people hit me all day long about, did they cook you your favorite meal? Oh, did they clean? I'm like, they didn't do nothing, man. They made cards, they gave me a hug, and then they went back and playing and being loud, which is how I want it, man. I don't want a big deal out of it. But that's just me. So Mari, I get the feeling you on my side of this as far as.
I am. I woke up. You know, I woke up a little late and I had like 14 texts. Happy Father's Day. And I'm just like, oh, God. Like, thank you. First of all, like, it's not that I don't like love and I don't like appreciation. It's not that. It's that I have to individually. It's not a group chat. It's not a group text. I can't just say it one time and everybody read it. I have to keep doing this. You know what I'm saying? So it's like my cousins and, you know, my aunts, family members, it's friends. And I'm just like, OK. And the messages were beautiful, but it's like, God. Damn it, awesome. Man. Like, yeah, but as far as like what I got, you know, at home, so my wife actually bought me a wallet with it's this picture of my kids like on it. know what I'm saying? So I got that. She bought me like, you know, a couple like t-shirts before that. You know, just little stuff like that. That's all I really want is like just very small tokens of appreciation, some peace and quiet, and that's it. You know what I mean? I'll take that, and I'll take that over everything. I don't want the breakfast in bed and the all that. I don't want none of that. Like, thank you, but just you don't got to do. I'm simple. You know what I'm saying? I'm very simple.
On the other end of the spectrum is John Gervais, the person who I feel like more than anyone else takes so much joy and happiness in all of these events.
He's maybe wearing an I'm a proud dad shirt.
Yeah, he's got a I'm a proud dad shirt on.
It's, thank you.
Jerv, is this because, like, I know obviously you got your stepchildren, but, like, is this because, like, a relatively new father? Do you really feel like, you know, I've always been this kind of event guy like that?
No, I'm not this event guy. This is 100% hype off of the fact that I have a daughter. Mm. And I just I always clown people for doing everything. And then during the pregnancy, I even said it on here, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna be that guy. Like I'm gonna be that guy. I'm gonna live every moment of this. Although the text yesterday got a little annoying, though. I will front on that.
I'm telling you.
I went for a ride. I went for a bike ride. That's my new thing. I like to ride through the city. And it got very annoying. Whatever, and I don't want to put my phone on do not disturb, just in case an emergency happens or whatever, you know what I mean? But every couple of seconds. So the text, I mean, I appreciate it. It was love, but I'm definitely that guy. I'm the event guy now. So yeah, catch me anywhere promoting my daughter.
Trey, do you feel left out at all?
No, I don't feel left out. But now I'm hearing from the person who actually has to send a text, because I'm a fake ass nigga if I don't send a text. Did that mean I don't appreciate y'all fatherhood?
You was good, Trey.
No, I knew it. I knew I was good with the bomb chat because I just grouped you niggas in one.
Exactly.
So it wasn't like, you know what? Let me send a heartfelt message to Mari. Let me send a heartfelt message to me. No,
if
it was like,
yo, if he would have did that and hit the chat, I would have been like, oh my
God. No, I'm pretty sure you would have like, yo, get this nigga the fuck up out of here. He ain't a dad yet, so he don't understand.
I love you, man.
So my situation was, if I sent it to y'all and I sent it to another chat, I told Jade, I told Tom, I told Ben, and doubled up with Amin again because he was packaged in the shit. So then I'm like, all right, cool. Then I get on Twitter to try to get it off like, hey, this is for everybody. Didn't work. Niggas want their individual shit. Like, oh, I'm supposed to be your boy.
Who are these people who want the individual shout-outs?
I can't put them out there like that. But all I'm going to say is, niggas is really, oh, you told that nigga happy Father's Day, but you ain't tell me. And I really know you, and you supposed to be my boy. And I'm just all right, nigga. I don't get it because I'm not a daddy. But maybe if I ever be a dad, then I'm going to be, I don't know if I told Jerv or whoever it was. I told my homie DJ. I said, I'm following the blueprint. But I'm following Jerv's blueprint too. I don't know if I'm going to go the gram crazy though. My nigga be... You know, shouts to Haven. Really feel like my real fucking niece.
She is so beautiful, man.
So
that's a beautiful girl.
I be hyped. Like when he said his Father's Day gift was her walking, I felt like, yo, that's my niece walking. That shit's dope because we've been following her growth. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and cry, my nigga. It's cool. I ain't gonna call you a bitch ass nigga.
I was dead, bro. I was dead. I ain't gonna hold you.
Overall, it was dope to see because your joy is also our joy. The same shit as when Mari first had his son. We were like, nigga. How old is he? Nigga landed like damn near two now, right?
Right, yeah.
So time is flying, but we're growing up with them.
It'll be two in December.
And I'm sure by the time I finally finger roll my baby out, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, like, I'm going to
be... start with a finger. It does.
There you go. Yes, that's the Mari I missed. It does. I just throw the lobs off the glass. But yeah, once I have my baby, then I can experience that joy too. But right now, I'm just living through y'all. Like, that shit is dope just to see. And I always tell people that men only get 2 days. You get Father's Day and your birthday. The rest is daddy ain't shit.
I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie, bro. Like, the one thing I will say, like, about my wife, like, since we started dating, like, all these years ago, I even get stuff on Valentine's Day from her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she don't... She don't do the whole, like, yeah, this is just for me, blah, 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 you know, because I was on that. Like, yeah, I'm going to get you something. She's like, no, I'm going to get you something too. So, you know, it's that's the one thing I will say, like, no matter what, on the holidays, she's great at giving gifts. So she's not one of those people.
So I got a question for the dads. Do you want something on Valentine's Day?
I wouldn't be mad if I didn't get anything, but if you give me something, it's like, you know, it's a bonus. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, I won't be fell away if I don't get nothing, but I don't really care.
Let me just say right now, I'm going to unveil my philosophy to the world. My philosophy is, don't get me nothing because I don't plan on getting you nothing either. So I love the idea that most people don't know when my birthday is. So that way they can't wish me happy birthday. That way when their birthday come around, I don't wish happy birthdays. I'll be honest. The only people I wish happy birthday to are, again, my kids. And that's just because I want them to feel like they're loved and well-adjusted, but not because I actually think it's important. Because I feel like having to remember birthdays and all these days or whatever is just a tax on my brain.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to. I got enough shit to worry about. I don't need to worry about, oh, did I wish you a happy birthday? I be seeing people on Instagram, and every single person who wished them happy birthday, they got the mention in there in the story. And it's like 100 of them in a row. And I'm like, I never want that to happen to me, because that means that's 100 people I got to remember their birthdays of too.
Yeah.
So birthdays, Valentine's, Father's Day, don't get me shit. Like, jeez. Don't remember. Like, I'm good. Just as long as it's quid pro quo, like, you're not mad when, man, like Trey said, people,
man, I love.
You ain't hit me. You ain't hit me. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I love this guy.
It's a great, it's a very freeing thing, I'm telling you. When you hit that level where you realize I don't have to remember shit, oh my God, man. It is amazing. Derp? Derp love all that shit, man.
Nah, I'm not really big on Valentine's Day. I don't really need anything. I'm chilling. I probably just want to watch something.
And yeah.
I just kind of just want to chill on Valentine's Day. So I don't really need anything on Valentine's Day.
All I ever need ever for any holiday is black Nike socks and like t-shirt. That's it. That's really all I need. You buy me black Nike socks, you could buy that shit for me every single time. My birthday, Father's Day, Christmas, whatever. A random Wednesday. I'll be good.
You can take me to the movies.
Trey, you want to be wined and dined and all that.
What'd you say to me?
Movies. I was going to ask you, what do you feel as far as those kind of protocols and stuff?
For Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day, birthday, yeah, all that stuff.
Oddly, I don't think I was dating during those times. I've been like a weird nigga during that situation. Like,
oddly.
How convenient. Oddly.
I mean, it just, you know what I'm saying? It just kind of works in my favor where I don't have to get nobody shit. But
February 11th, he's like, you know what? I don't think it's working out, man. I don't really want to. I don't know.
Yeah, wow, but it's really not my responsibility. You know what I'm saying? A nice, kind text or something like that. I don't know. But if I did have someone special in my life, maybe I would roll something out. You know what I mean? But that's just not the case.
Trey gonna find someone special on February 16th.
You know, it always works out that way. Their birthdays are, it's just, I always miss them. The good times.
Attaboy.
Always miss them.
Yeah.
Yo, Trey.
Yo, what's up?
I know we got our boy Mariano on the pod today. I'm so excited about this, man. But let me ask you something. You notice this man's mustache?
Yeah, man. He got a quarantine mustache.
He's got a quarantine mustache. I mean, it is. I told him he looked like the MLK mustache there, man. Like any character from a 1940s or 1950s movie mustache right there. But here's the amazing thing. The rest of Mariano's face, clean shaven. Completely clean shaven. And you know how, Trey?
How?
Because Harry's takes care of Mari, and they can take care of you too. If you go to harrys.com/BOM and get a Harry's trial set delivered to your doorstep. That's right. Times are tough right now. Harry's is still here though to make sure that you look good and saving you money on the way. Harry's has your grooming needs covered with high-quality blades as low as $2 each, delivered straight to your doorstep. So you can be like Mariano, and you can do all types of different styles. Mariano went straight mustache, nothing else. Trey, you got the goatee going, right?
Yeah.
Jerv has his beard, but he's got his beard kind of trimmed up and edged up on the side. Me, let's not talk about me. I'm a mess. But all my co-hosts here are using Harry's, and they're using it, and they're happy because Harry's is quality. Harry's is durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. They cut out the middleman. They make their blades in a German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. That's 100 years for those of you that don't speak English that well. By the way, one of the cool things about Harry's, 1% of the proceeds are set aside for nonprofit organizations devoted to helping provide better access to healthcare for veterans. So it's not just you're saving money when you get it. It's not just you're looking good when you use it. You're also helping out with nonprofit organizations that could absolutely use the help for some of our, people who need the help. And to help support those who need it most right now, Harry's is actually donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the country. Again, you think about shaving your face, your mustache, your goatee, your beard, and that's all cool. And that you can help people by signing up. But also Harry's is sending these razors all across the country to these hospitals. Whenever people have brain surgery or surgery for different body parts, they got to shave it. And guess what? They're using Harry's equipment now. So shout out to Harry's for that. Right now, bomb listeners can redeem their Harry's trial at harrys.com/BOM. This is what you get. You get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip. You get a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Here's what you got to do. harrys.com/BOM. Go there, sign up, get your trial kit right now. That's harrys.com/BOM to start shaving better today. So while we're on the topic of these special holidays or special days or whatever, I believe Friday was the first time I ever seen white people talk about Juneteenth in my life. Like discovering Juneteenth and then going wholeheartedly 10 toes deep in that. I didn't know how to react. So, I mean, I don't know. What was y'all feelings about seeing white people and like white brands, like seeing commercials for Juneteenth on TV?
Go ahead and play point so we don't talk over each other.
Okay, so Trey, let me start with you.
So first of all, rest in peace to my cousin Al Edwards. He was the first person to get this bill passed in Galveston, Texas. But he had to do some like wacky ass trade-off because politics works that way. He signed off an anti-abortion law in order to get Juneteenth passed as a state paid holiday. So it was a trade-off. They wouldn't gonna give a black person that in the 70s and say, if you don't back me here, I'm not going to back you there. Right. And they gave him that to sign that. But it was good and overwhelming also because obviously this is a part of my family history. So it was cool to see brands being like, all right, we're going to do a paid holiday. But don't get it twisted in the next 5 years, Juneteenth is celebrated like Cinco de Mayo.
That's what's going to happen, bro.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
That's actually a great point. It really is. Yeah. I think recently, so what started happening, I guess that I noticed is that no matter what video game you turn on, there's a message about like Black Lives Matter and black people. Like the Madden home screen is like Black Lives Matter and this. And I'm just like, okay. Like, you know, I don't know what took so long, I guess, for this message to be, you know, something so prevalent across like all these platforms. But I mean, it's something that's it's good to see. And I didn't even think about that, Trey, until you just said that about it being celebrated that way. And I honestly feel like that's the trajectory of it. Like really.
Yeah,
absolutely. My man said that wait for next year. We're going to have a Chevy Juneteenth sale. $1,500 off of MSRP or 0% financing. Jerv, what was your reaction seeing like all these established brands wishing everybody a happy Juneteenth?
I was with it at first. I was like, oh, that's dope. They're giving everybody a paid holiday. But then after thinking about it, I think I seen a couple tweets or whatever. I'm with Trey. Like, I think it's about to get super corny. They're about to make it a whole type of thing. And I can't even imagine the type of ignorance that they going that they're going to, like, how they're going to celebrate in the type of, like, ignorant way that it's going to be celebrated. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. So, like, that kind of is, especially for me. Like, I didn't really learn about it until I was in college. So
yeah, so Trey, you said you had a family member who was actually very instrumental behind getting this to be a paid holiday in the state of Texas. When did you first learn about Juneteenth?
It's always been a thing in my family, just because Al is just like, that's my my great cousin. Sadly, he passed April 29th, so he didn't even get to see this shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he has a statue in Galveston, Texas, actually, him holding the actual Juneteenth bill.
Wow, that's tough,
yeah,
man.
So bittersweet for our family, but dope. You know what I'm saying? As far as that, but understanding what it possibly may be, it's not like you black, so you get the day off. It's kind of like, it's acknowledged, and again, what can we pretty much ask for in this scenario? But I do think that it should be added to curriculum elsewhere. You know what I mean? Because there's people that actually, if you weren't born in Texas, you don't know what that is. And but I'm also not going to shame you and say, oh, you just now finding out about it? Or why are you celebrating it right now? No. All is welcome, because this is very important. And a lot of people that don't, for our listeners who don't know who Juneteenth is, for 2 years, slavery was supposed to be done, and they had people still working in Texas as slaves for the free.
They basically didn't tell nobody.
They didn't tell nobody, and they basically murdered every messenger that was supposed to make it down to the South to let them know that they were free. So you think about that. If you didn't know, you in other states, and you like, oh, well, my cousin, it ain't like I can pick up the phone and say, nigga, you free. Stop working for that person. You know what I mean? You pretty much had to find out on the hard way. And it was also a disheartening story where I think from the late 60s or early 70s, someone was still working in servitude like that way.
No.
Yeah. They didn't find out.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you say, nah, you can Google it. It's there. Imagine, I just don't have the actual... like name.
So in the 60s or 70s? Mm-hmm,
that they were still working as slaves. They didn't know. They had no fucking like direct line to it.
Oh my God.
Wild.
But imagine people if
communication
abuse
was like how it is right now. Like communication was the way it is right now. And like you decided to take some time off of social media and you got back on there and was like, nah, niggas been free for like
Mari, that's like you coming back on, right? You've been going for
a
month.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And niggas is like, yo, we got all reparations. And you like, nigga, wait, what?
What?
And they like, yo, Mari, you ain't applied for your reparations? Niggas like, nah, right. I've been on social media. They're like, well, nigga, we got our 357,000.
Shit.
We got our shit.
Yo, real quick before we move on, Trey, I want to ask you this, because I didn't ask you this on the last segment. When you tore your meniscus, right? Mm-hmm. Was it before or after Valentine's Day? Because that's pretty convenient injury to just have, you know, out of nowhere.
It happened in July of 2015.
Okay, all right, you good then?
Yeah, I had somebody take care of me. God bless her. So
cool. God bless her. Look at this guy. Oh,
but I mean, no, she's a nice girl. But I'm just saying, overall. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't happen during Valentine's Day.
All right, cool. I just want to make sure you said, all right, cool, yeah. Cool.
Not a heartbreak thug here.
Yo, the man, like, dude finding out about slavery, like, 100 years later, that might take the cake, man. Like, think about that shit, man. Like, yo, man, hey, what you about to get into, man? I got to go. Master, don't be angry. What do you want, my master, man? You know, like, I can't just leave the big house. What you talking about? Like, what are you talking about, man? We're going to Arby's. Like, what is Arby's?
That's a wild place to be like, yo, don't go do that. We're going to Arby's. That nigga might find out what Arby's is and be like, nah,
right,
I think I'm
going to
I'm going to catch up with y'all later.
I found it.
Is that Arby's?
Yeah, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to stay here. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, get after it, big dog.
My dog is upset about Arby's, bro. See, Gambit ain't having it.
All right, so this was posted February 28th, 2018, Vice. Black people in the U.S. were enslaved well into the 1960s. More than 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, there were black people in the Deep South who had no idea they were free. These people were forced to work, violently tortured, and raped. Historian and genealogist Antoinette Harrell has uncovered cases of African Americans still living as slaves 100 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. The 57-year-old Louisiana native has dedicated more than 20 years to peonage research. Through her work, she's unearthed painful stories in southern states like Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Florida. Over a series of interviews, she told Justin Forno about how she became an expert of modern slavery in the United States.
God damn.
We knew our family had once been slaves in Louisiana in 1994. I started to look into historical records and public records. I found my ancestors in the 1853 inventory belonging to Benjamin and Celia Bankson Richardson, written down alongside other personal belongings that included spoons, forks, hogs, cows, and a sofa were my great-grandparents. And they had been appraised for pretty much $1,100. But yeah, like, if you go down the line, it's a bunch of people that just didn't have that direct line. They had no clue.
That is crazy, bro. That is.
And that's why we deserve reparations.
I mean, yeah.
That's crazy.
The fact that you can manipulate somebody and still say, these people probably can't read or write. They have no common knowledge of the internet. They have no common knowledge of what's really going on. It's like living basically in one of those third world countries that live in the jungle. And you're just like, if they see me and Amin or you or Mari walking around, they're going to look at us like we Django.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Master gonna see you. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, it's a laughable moment, but you have to like also think like that's real. Like, it's real life. We're in 2020, and these people were well beyond still working as slaves. That shit is disheartening.
Y'all really make me laugh at the shit that I want to laugh at, man. And
always. But that's no. That's the thing. That's our joy: humor and dancing. It is.
God, I live in Atlanta. I know
a nigga could be rich and a nigga still come for his hairline.
Yeah,
we black.
Yo, listen, dog. If a nigga get robbed at QT right now, 10 minutes later you gonna see a video of somebody saying hey, and he gonna be dancing, still probably with blood dripping down his face, like doing a move. You like that little like the video of that little kid? We was crying, but like he was like acting out. You know what I mean? Like that one. Yeah.
He's doing all the dances from Fortnite. Come on. You want to dance so much? Go ahead and dance.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Oh, my God. Yo, that's bizarre, man. Trey, you know what I don't miss?
What you don't miss?
At all? I don't miss going to the bank physically, standing in line, looking at all these ugly people. Take their time. People counting out pennies on the counter. I don't miss any of that. I know what y'all are thinking. I mean, it's because the pandemic, right? Like, that's why. Like, no. I don't miss it because I don't go to banks anymore because I bank a mobile bank called Current. Got me a Visa debit card. Got me free overdraft up to $100 with no hidden fees. And guess what, Trey?
What?
My direct deposit hits 2 days faster.
Bling, bling.
Oh, my God. I cannot explain it. The power you feel when you know the check is coming on Friday, but you are on Wednesday spending it, paying bills, taking somebody you love out to eat, buying gifts. You don't have to worry about waiting until payday to be able to do this, and you don't have to worry about overdraft up to $100 because it's free with Current. They call it overdrive. If you spend over your balance, you won't get declined, and you won't get charged any fees, and you can use over 55,000 free ATMs with Current. Now, Trey, I know what you're thinking. I mean, What if it's not a direct deposit? What if you have a paper check? What are you going to do? You can't go into a physical bank now. What are you going to do? It's easy. On the back of your phone, I guarantee anyone who's listening to this, pick up your phone, flip your phone, look at the back of it. You're going to see a black dot or dots. That's your camera. The camera on your phone helps you deposit the checks. Welcome to the 21st century. Current has perks like instantly refunding the holes the gas stations put on your card, so you don't need to wait days just to get your own money back from the pump. Current is a real bank account, not a prepaid card, so it works with Apple Pay, Google Pay, Cash App, Venmo. You can even instantly send money for free using your Current tag. Black Trey, what is your Current tag?
B-L-K-T-R-A-Y.
Easy enough. If you want to send them money, just go ahead. He just gave you the tag right there. Current notifies you when you spend, and it lets you pause your card instantly in the app. That way, if you misplaced it, you don't have to cancel the card. You can pause and then look for it. And if you find it, you can start it back up again. And for those of you guys who are under 18 listening, or if you're parents and you have kids who are under 18, guess what? You can also get an account with Current, even if you're under 18. It only takes 2 minutes to sign up, people. Current card will be shipped to you for free. Download Current now. Get a Current Black Premium card when you go to current.com and enter the promo code BOM. That's CURRENT.com. Enter promo code BOM. Speaking of bizarre, so I don't even know how to approach this, man. NASCAR recently banned the Confederate flag. Again, things that would have been overdue 100 years ago, they finally got around to. Bubba Wallace, who's the only black driver on the circuit, had Black Lives Matter painted on his car. Everything's cool. They get to Talladega. That's right. Talladega Nights is set in an actual racetrack. It's not just a movie. And first of all, you got people outside driving around with Confederate flags. You got a dude in a crop duster flying overhead, flying the Confederate flag. And if all that wasn't subtle enough, they left a noose in the garage where Bubba Wallace's, where his car gets fixed or whatever, right? So I just want to, like, where are the people who are sticking up for their Confederate flag? Like, I already knew their explanation was horseshit. But, like, yo, if this is the people who represent your flag, like, wouldn't you want to not be affiliated with that? It just seems to me, like, pretty obvious. I was watching this documentary. I think I mentioned this on the pod last week. But how, like, books in the South, history books in the South, were purposefully rewritten to not talk about slavery when talking about the Civil War. Like, the concept of states' rights was all something that they came up with after the Civil War to explain why they caught that ass whooping. And the people who grew up learning that had kids, and those kids became the adults during the Civil Rights era in the 60s. And those people grew up to have the people who were in control in the 80s and 90s, and those people, their kids are now grown up, and these are the people right now who are defending this flag. So you got generations of the people who are out caping for something that is clearly a symbol of hate. And by the way, not even a long-lasting symbol of hate. Shit lasted 4 years.
Right.
The Warriors went to more finals than the Confederacy was around for.
Right.
Right. But they hold on to it, and they make all these excuses to why to hold on to it. And now you see, to me, what it's all about, really, it's about motherfuckers are racist. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. But Mari, let me ask you. I mean, it's just a dumb question, but like, how does it make you feel to know there's people running around throwing nooses around it? Like, you know, that's some real specific type references that you're doing when you leave a noose in somebody's workspace.
It is. I mean, that type of stuff is like, you hear about it, and you hear about it for so long that when it still happens now, like it's 2020, you can like video chat your grandmother. You can see your grandmother's face no matter where you are if you got a connection and she got the right phone for it. And people are still out here with, first of all, you have a noose. Like, you didn't just go get this today, this morning, on the way here. Like, you ain't grabbed sunflower seeds and like, let me get a noose. I'm finna take it up. Like, you didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things. Then it's like, it's 2020, bro. Like, what are you doing? What message are you trying to send that like a bunch of other people did? You know what? Like, what are you doing? What are you trying to do? What you got the flag? We already know where you stand on this shit. But it's like everybody who does that, like you did it, and it's like throwing a rock and hiding your hands because like you're not standing next to it.
Mar, let me ask you this: what's the most overtly racist thing that's ever happened to you? Like, not like cops messing with me, but like straight up racist. They're not even hiding it. They're like a noose, for instance.
I don't know if nothing like that. Man, I don't know. I don't know if it's ever really been anything overtly like that, because I've lived up top majority of my life.
Right. And
you know what I'm saying? So like it might have been like some passive aggressive things that happened where you kind of know like, oh, he probably did that because I was, but you know what I'm saying? Like something like that. I can't really recall an instance where something like this happened, which is why it's so like disheartening that somebody would, you know what I'm saying? Like you asked me that and I can't think of something off the top of my head, but you asked Bubba Wallace this and it's like a noose.
Yeah. he got a specific answer from this week.
Yeah.
The reason I asked that, cause I was on a round table with Antonio Daniels and Jason Jackson and Eddie Johnson. And Eddie told a story about he grew up, in the projects in Chicago, but then he moved to the West Side. And he said the place where they were at in the West Side was right across from a suburb called Cicero. Cicero is a white suburb. It's where a lot of the Al Capone stuff went down or whatever. For Eddie Johnson growing up basically in the 70s or whatever, it's like that shit is right across the street, but we can't go there because if we go there, they're going to chase us out. And he told the story about one time him and his boys, they wanted to go get something to eat. And the restaurant they wanted to go to was on the other side of the tracks or whatever. And they passed this white dude on the way in. And the white dude said, what y'all boys doing in here or whatever? And Eddie said, man, the hell with you or whatever. I'm getting something to eat. And they go in and they eat. He said when they got ready to come outside, they said like it was like 50 white people with baseball bats. And they're ready to like basically lynch him. So it said they come back inside, the restaurant owner trying to lock up. He's like, man, you can't leave us out there. So the restaurant owner called the cops. Cops come over and ask Eddie and his friends, what did y'all do? I'm like, man, we ain't do nothing. We just came to eat and we're trying to go home and these guys out here. So the cop, rather than say, okay, I'm going to drop y'all off at home, which is just like a few blocks away or whatever, he basically holds back the mob, gets these boys to the front of the pack and says, all right, run. Like wow. On some like these niggas about to chase. So y'all, I'm giving you a head start basically.
Wow.
But after that's on you. And it struck me because I'm like, yo, that's some wild, like that's like a noose. Like you said, like I've never hit that level of overt racism. Jerv, do you have an overt racist story that you've had happen to you?
I mean, I've been called the N-word a couple times.
Yeah, that's about the limit for me.
Yeah, I haven't had anything where like I was chased out of a neighborhood or anything like that. So, yeah, no, it would just be called like the N-word a couple times. School, I mean, I went to predominantly white school, so everybody, I always get the undercover stuff like Mario was talking about when people are like, oh, you went to that school. And it's kind of like, yeah, I went to that school. Like, you know what I mean? So I get that stuff all the time. But other than being called the N-word, I never had anything. I can't even imagine having a mob of people after me just, you know what I mean?
Like, baseball bats, man?
Like, baseball bats.
Like, that ain't no like we gonna rough them up a little bit. That's
no.
That's some real shit. Yo, Trey, other than being called a nigga in Old Town Scottsdale, what's the most overtly racist thing that's happened?
Yeah, they'll never see a dime of mine. And actually, that club has shut down, so we shut won.
Down, of course.
We won long term.
Yeah.
But during my playing days in Iowa, we played NAIA school in Indiana, and we had to celebrate. We had to basically celebrate Thanksgiving in Indiana, and I went to a restaurant called Perkins in the Midwest, and they said niggers go home on the wall of the bathroom. So it felt like I laughed because obviously at that time I'm young and I really didn't like concept the whole process of it, but it felt like what Glory Road would possibly be like as far as like, because these the team that we were going to play, like they shut down the entire city just to come to this game, and they were just like saying racial shit and, you know, but it was funny because I just laugh at shit like that. I didn't think it would get to that extremity of obviously like us getting hung or not making it back to the school. You know what I mean? Like somebody calling me a nigger at the free throw line. I was just like, all right, I'm about to have like a dub. Cool. Or whatever. Like the slander wasn't enough. Like, cause I've heard shit worse on the fucking playground. I mean, not in the playground, but like in high school in a joke circle. So a nigga teasing you about being poor or being called a nigger.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Found in general, racists don't come up with funny shit talk.
Nah, it never works. Like, but it don't strike a nerve either though for me.
Bro, it's like Trey said, it's funny because it's like, bro, after all these years, y'all still got just a noose, bro. Like this is what you a gun up in your face and it's all you could come up with? Like
that's great.
Seriously? Okay.
Rob shared shouts to Rob. In 1990, Tony Gwynn found one of his figurines. So I'm pretty sure it was the starters or upper deck figurines that used to come out where they just have the model hanging
before
in
a bobblehead.
Yeah, hanging in a Padres dugout. Someone had cut the arms and the feet off the figurine and put a noose around its neck. Someone had committed a mock lynching. So also, we haven't had these experiences since Jackie Robinson. So that's two on a situation along top with, you know, Bubba Wallace. And again, for Bubba Wallace to be dealing with this in 2020 after we're supposed to be making some boundary steps. I mean, for one, NASCAR, I'm a video game NASCAR guy, so I don't really tap in with the whole actual sitting here and watching a bunch of laps. But for someone to be committed and fly a Confederate flag over, that was one situation that they're committed to the cause. But then for reporters to say that because NASCAR is such a crazy ass sport that somebody could just rig your car or fucking undo your screw, the nuts on your wheels and all that detriment, no other crews are allowed to go into your cockpit. So the fact that just finding a noose in this young man's, area is crazy because it's like, who's willing to do this? And then there's also cameras around. So when they actually unroll the footage, but you also have, I like to dub this with the because I feel like I've been associated with it and I like not to target fucking religion and shit right now. But like white Christians are racist as hell. And that bugs me out. Because I'm a Christian and I'm trying to like understand this gap and where they feel comfortable and what's not. But it's interesting to see to be like, quote, because I've experienced a lot of, you know, I couldn't imagine what falls upon Jamel Hill's mentions. But since I've been kind of very active on social about social injustice, I've been getting some really nasty stuff. And it doesn't bother me because I can just kind of just turn my phone off and I'll be fine.
Well, Trey, on that note, I saw you had a really informative Twitter thread about the history of the state of Oregon. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of that stuff, man. Like, I was truly educated by everything you had in that. Can you recap that a little and talk about some of the reactions that you got from posting all that?
So, for one, for Damian Lillard to chime in was like huge because obviously like Portland's kind of a like majority white, but like this dude has 2 million followers. He's very active as far as like he loves to be in Portland and shit like that. And he's all about it. But like it's a blind side to that shit. I've been going to Portland since 1995 and I remember the neighborhoods being black. And now you go there when I come to visit, it's white, it's gentrified. Like old historic Alberta is not the same. So this all started from me having a conversation with my grandma. And my grandma was like, You know, I didn't even realize none of this shit was really popping. I grew up around all white people. And they didn't really treat me crazy. But this is bugging me out what's going on in 2020. So when we had this conversation, I was educating my grandma actually about this shit. And that bugged me out even more because I was so, like, I dove so deep off of it.
We'll share the information for the people who didn't see it on Twitter. All right,
so I'm going to start off. I'm going to just go through this because it's a lot. It's a five-minute read, but I'm not going to go through the entire 5 minutes. But in 1844, all black people were ordered to get out of Oregon country, the expansive territory under the American rule that stretched from the Pacific coast to the Rocky Mountains. So there's no black people allowed. 15 years before Oregon became a state, the law allows slaveholders to keep their slaves for a maximum of 3 years. The Lash Law became known as the Peter Burnett Lash Law, who also opposed Chinese migration. So it wasn't just us. They had a lot of Chinese people there. So if you there living, if you Chinese American, you wasn't accepted there either. But they opposed Chinese migration to Oregon country, and this guy actually became the first American governor of California. The Lash Law was quickly amended and then repealed. No black people were ever lashed under the law. Those laws created what one African-American professor calls a very hostile environment that has long made Oregon and its largest city, Portland, a stronghold for white supremacists. In 1848, the territorial government passed a law making it illegal for any Negro or mulatto to live in Oregon country in 1850.
That's your jerk.
Under the Oregon Donation Land Act, whites and half-breed Indians were granted 650 acres of land from the government. And then in 1857, as Oregon sought to become a state, it wrote the exclusion of blacks into the Constitution. No free Negro or mulatto not residing in this state at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall ever come, reside, or be within this state or hold any real estate.
Mm.
Damn.
And this wasn't taught in Oregon's curriculum. Yeah. So I had maybe roughly, let me check the interactions right now, because I can tell you straight up, 400,000 impressions, 41,000 engagements, and I would like to say over 20,000 people did not know this existed.
Easily.
Because
I didn't know.
Because obviously Portland is very vocal about LGBT community and supportive that way. And they've just smallly supported Black Lives Matter a little bit. But to not know the history of it, and you think you like, okay, yes, I'm a proud Oregonian, and yeah, we're about it. Portland's about it. And you're really not, bro. Like, you don't know the whole history, and it's left out of the curriculum. It's not even being taught. You know what I mean? Like, there's maybe roughly six schools. Oregon State has like an African-American class. And then a few private courses are offered at some high schools.
I'm telling you, dude, one of the biggest things that I've discovered over the last couple of years is that this shit isn't taught, not by mistake. It's on purpose. They purposefully erase this stuff in there because they want everybody to quote unquote move on. Right. But you know, but like my man said, like slavery, oh, move on. Da da da. All this stuff, move on. 9/11, never forget.
Right. Right.
I ain't never gonna let us forget that one, right?
Right.
And it's not that we should be forgetting 9/11. It was a heinous event, but like if you look at the number of people who've been killed first just through slavery, it's like a million 9/11s, right? And then you throw in a civil war where 2 million people died because half the country literally wanted to own human beings as property. Then you throw in all the people who died through the civil rights struggle and Jim Crow and desegregation and all that. Then hell, just add in all the people who've died at the hands of law enforcement from like 1955 till now, right? Like it's all of these are national tragedies, And like you said, Trey, none of this is taught. None of this, and it's not an accident. They do this on purpose. They don't want people to know because they know if people knew, people would be walking around pissed all day. So they just try to hide it from us.
Yep.
It's a shame. Trey, what was some of the wildest interactions? I feel like that kind of information is straightforward. People should just either say, yeah, I learned about that and I couldn't believe it. Or, wow, I'm just learning about this right now. I can't believe it. I have a feeling that some people still had some slick shit to say.
Actually, no. I got everybody was positive about it, but more so. Again, I don't know how to read the room with white people and say like if it's genuine or not. But everybody's like, look, Oregon's still racist, the place that you love. You know what I'm saying? And shouts to Ian Carmel, like he really kind of boosted that a little bit more because he's just like, yeah, this is the same place I grew up and it's been that way. And when black people were trying to thrive their neighborhoods, 300 to 400 homes were destroyed because they built the I-5 freeway through black communities. Yep. And he was very vocal on that. And he also brought a good traffic through. But, you know, I mean, like I said, it's disheartening because I feel like Oregon's like a second home to me because my dad was born there. He was born in Portland. So, like, my entire family. This article actually was written by a black woman who is Deanne. I need to look up her full name, but I put it at the end of the thread so that, you know, she can get her credit. But it was written in 2017. And the fact that it got swept under the rug in 2017 and it stumbled upon like my lap as far as me researching and cliff noting it to a point for everybody to actually check out. I mean, this was written in the Washington Post and it took for us to actually get to this moment for people to be like, whoa, all of a sudden, wow, my state's racist.
And by the way,
we live in a racist state. You know what I'm saying?
Every single one. There is no state that ain't racist.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. They all have a crazy history. Like my man said, was gangs in New York. Right. Like one of my white friends was saying, he can't believe how much stuff that he didn't learn in school. He learned from movies and TV. So he learned about the Tulsa massacre from Watchmen. He learned about the lynchings in New York during the time of Civil War from gangs in New York. He learned about like all the things he learns about is like because he saw a movie or saw a TV show about it, not because it was taught in schools. And I go back to man, because there's a reason. They don't want you to learn these things. They don't want us to know. Anyone who's dealt with erectile dysfunction knows how awkward it can be to talk about in person. I cannot even imagine sitting down in a doctor's office, looking at my doctor 2 feet away from me and letting them know that not everything works the way I want it to work downstairs. Well, luckily, there's a simple, convenient solution to get the treatment you need without leaving your couch. You don't even need to go to the doctor's office. Our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of your home. That's right. Roman makes it convenient to get the treatment you need right from home. Just grab your phone or computer, complete a free online visit, and you'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. If the doctor decides the treatment is right for you, your medication can be shipped right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Get free unlimited follow-ups as well with your doctor anytime you have questions or want to readjust your treatment plan. With Roman, there are no commitments, and you can cancel at any time. Trey, I don't know if you know this. I've been using Roman on my hair, man. I'm hoping, I'm praying. The hairline looks stronger. I don't know if that's just because my hair is going out, but my hairline definitely looks stronger. The back, the situation in the back is also looking thicker than it did a couple months ago before I started. And the best part about it is, again, I did all of this from the comfort of my home. I sat right where I'm sitting right now. I dialed up. I talked to it was like a FaceTime call almost with a doctor. And, you know, he checked out. I took some pictures and he wrote me a script for finasteride or whatever it's called. It's a pill, and also minoxidil, which is a little drip. And so that's how Roman is helping me out. But obviously they have a wide variety of things And so if erectile dysfunction is your issue, you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to wear a disguise and sneak into your doctor's office. You can do it all in the comfort of your home using Roman. If you're struggling with ED, just stay home. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BOM for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. Let's lighten it up as we wrap up the show here. I get to be an old man once again. And y'all can explain something to me. Because a couple of days ago, producer Rob put it into the group chat, this Swizz Beatz and Busta Rhymes talking to each other about something. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were beefing with one another. At, like, the way I interpreted it, I was like, wow, why are they mad? What are they so mad about? And you guys explained to me that apparently they're not mad at one another. Swizz is mad at Drake.
Yo, you pull out a gun tonight, then I ain't never see you use.
And I'm glad my dog have a bulletproof vest on.
Because I wasn't planning on using anything, but like the fact that you couldn't put out something that somebody came to you to listen, man. It's about Busta Rhymes tonight.
I don't want to get it misconstrued. He didn't come to me to make a record with me. He wanted to do Dilla Beats. Dilla Beats. That's what it was about. Like this. That's what I'm saying. So.
Listen, man. That kid is a good kid as well. He's not a bad kid. He's a good kid. He started from different things. We made hit record together. It's all love. It's all love. I don't want no problems with anything. I just want to play music because my filter is burnt.
I understand, and so is mine. My filter is burnt, and so is mine, King.
My filter is burnt.
But you know what, too? You know what we stand on, too, King? Me and you both stand on making sure we understand everything before we express how much our filter is burnt. That's all. I just want to give you the fullness on the understanding.
At the end of the day, niggas is pussy for real. What's up? Pop off. Let's go.
But I'm kind of confused because Swizz was the one saying he's a good kid. He's a good kid. Was he talking about Drake? So I'm going to leave it to one of y'all young niggas to explain this shit to me and all the white people who don't know these characters.
So before, because I feel like I don't even have all the information either. Because I've been off of social media, I had to rely on like a couple group chats to like fill me in on what's going on. All I got was like, yeah, Swizz wild. And then I was like, what happened? And then like for the first time in a long time, I didn't know what was going on because I'm not on social media, so I had to Google
it. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I had to Google it, and I was like, oh, like I really went back and I did the research on it, whatever, and I was like, oh, okay, I heard what Swizz said first, and I heard the conversation, and I heard his quote-unquote apology. Like, it didn't sound like an apology to me, but, I don't know, which OVO did not accept, but
yep. Yeah, for you guys, he apologized for doing it the way he did it. He didn't apologize for what
so he did. Exactly, 100% on it. If you guys want me to,
yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, somewhere in the long storied history of Young Money, Busta Rhymes was on the label, and I forgot that Busta Rhymes was signed to Lil Wayne, but yes, he was. During his time with Young Money, him and Drake created a track over a J Dilla beat. The song surfaced on the internet on Wednesday, and Busta was seemingly unaware of the situation. And when he first got on Instagram Live with Swizz, however, he tried to explain to Swizz that Drake wasn't trying to slight him by leaking the record. He said, I don't want to get it misconstrued. He didn't come to me to make a record with me. He wanted to do a J Dilla beat.
Dilla How beat, old is this song?
10 years old.
Gotcha.
That's what it's about. That's all I'm saying.
It just leaked now.
Yeah. However, none of the context Busta provided seemed to soothe Swizz Beatz. It appears that the latter's problem with the leak is the fact that it possibly came from Drake's camp. And if that was the case, Drake would have been putting out the track no one can profit from. So, Swizz Beatz follows up because at the end of the day, niggas is pussy for real. What's up? Pop off. Let's go.
And then he played a record.
So then, he said if it was a problem, we would have shot your plane out the sky. I said, oh, Lord.
He was getting crazy. Obviously, Alicia seen it. His kids seen it and told him, Dad, relax. But also, they probably reminded him what the boy did to Puff. But the response was from Chubbs, and who don't know who Chubbs is, that's Drake's right-hand man, said, we don't need no apology. It's clear you don't like us. So act that same way when you see us, pussy.
Boy. Woyoy. I don't even know what woyoy means.
So I don't even know if my man... Because I could see Drake and them being petty and going to do something to take away from Versus.
Bro, listen. Drake is going to give Swiss two lines that's going to sting him like a cat scratch. Like, it's going... He going to feel it. He going to hear it and be like, oh, shit. Like,
if the track is 10 years old... Like, why is he emotional over
I would again? Say he did you a favor, because, like, shit leaked right now before the album even, like, the album dropped on Friday, a song will leak on Wednesday night, and if this song ain't leaking 10 years, and first of all, you got to think, you're talking about Drake and Swizz Beatz and, like, Lil Wayne and all this, like, these figures who, if he did put out a song, let's just say it did come from his camp, he leaked it and nobody could profit from it. I mean, what's the bit like verse? Nobody's profiting off of verses from what I understand. It's just for the people, right? That's the same thing. Like, this record is just like, oh, damn, it's an old record. It's out there now. Like, now it's out. It's for the people. It is what it is. It's a good record. It's not like he put out a video of like Swiss getting smacked or something and was like, oh, yeah, we just had this old footage. Like, it's a song, bro. Like, he probably really got a personal problem with it. That's probably why when Chubbs heard what he said, he was like, oh, okay. You just confirmed you got a problem with it, because I don't know what goes on behind closed doors in the industry. They might have ran into each other a couple of times, or, you know, word got back and forth between camps, and this is just like, okay, yeah, you really don't like us now. Like,
I mean, I'm still confused as to what the affront is. Like, why would he get so upset about something that, like, I get it if it's like a track y'all recorded last year and you're still trying to figure out to clear the samples or whatever. Don't do that, da da da. Or we wanted it to be released on some anniversary or something. But it's a 10-year-old track, bro. Like, at this point, it's like, that's just for the music at this point.
Exactly.
For people to enjoy.
That's why I said I think it might be personal. It might be something, you know, to that, because it's like, for that to happen again, I can't tell somebody how to react to whatever. It could be someone could be 20 years old, you know what I mean, whatever, but at the same time, I just don't know that, you know, it's a song, dog. Like, it's a song that people seemingly enjoy too. Like, it's not like it's a whack song. It's just, you know, it is what it is. People like the song. I don't know.
Trey, what are your thoughts, man? Like,
I mean, like I said, I didn't hear the song. I don't think that.
It doesn't, but the song doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter whether you heard the song or not, right?
Yeah.
It's the idea is that, like, was that necessary?
No,
like,
it's not necessary. But again, old niggas hate Drake. And then they also do. Yeah, it's odd because it's kind of like, well, how is he winning in this certain situation? And I think if they just kind of let it go. And not Dr. J, the MJ situation, it'll be a little bit better. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they always end up, it hasn't failed. It hasn't been one time somebody's kind of got out of the side of their neck about Drake and they've ended up apologizing, just because that kind of cuts off whatever future income you got when you taking a shot at him, because he basically kill you off.
Well, it's not just him killing you off, especially if you're Swiss Beatz, like, you're at a place business-wise where you kind of have to escalate beyond, like, just some regular nigga shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, some people can't do that anymore. They can't do the regular nigga shit. Like, you're having conversations with corporate America. You're married to Alicia Keys, who is as mainstream gets. Like, you're not... I know, like, oh, don't get it twisted. Like, a hood nigga still lives here. But it's like, the reality is, man, like, you have business interests that you can't jeopardize, not over something dumb and little like this, over a 10-year-old song leaking. That's why, Mari, I like your explanation. It has to be, feels like there's got to be more to it.
Because think about it like this, right? He's on that Instagram Live with Buster, right?
let's say the same situation happened, but Buster put the record out. Do you think that Swizz is reacting this way? No, I don't think so, because I think that Swizz's reaction would have been like, oh, man, like, people ain't even hear this, or, you know, I almost forgot about this. This is an old joint. You know, you put that out, he might have promoted it. So when you put a song out and you do something that's seemingly harmless or something that's just like, this is just some industry stuff, if somebody else reacts to it, it's like there's some personal feelings behind it, because it's like, you know, if you work with somebody and somebody walk by you, they bump you. Oh, my bad, my man. You know, it's all good. Somebody else bump you. It's like, nah, you want to, you think I'm pussy. You think it's like, yeah. Huh? Like, what you, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you wanted, you couldn't wait. Like, you've been waiting for action. It's like, okay, I got action now. Now yeah. I'm going to use this platform to tell you how I really feel about you. It's crazy. It's
crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Damn, I thought it was like Joel Santana when I saw the response too. Like, I thought Swizz was Joel.
I like, yo, for a second I was looking at it, like, is that really Swizz? Because it just didn't compute my brain. Like, nigga, why are you so mad about it? Like, at first I thought he was mad at Buster. I was like, because Buster was doing facial expressions and stuff. I was like, wait, are they about to fight? Because who was it that was arguing on Instagram Live? Like, legit arguing.
It was Marlon Wayans, but it wasn't Marlon, even. It turned out to be a parody, and that's why I was like, is this another parody? One of those things for the show? I'm just tired of these fucking Instagram games.
It's just a
lot, man. You know, you never know what's fugazi and what's not.
But. And as soon as I found out about the Swizz and Drake thing, like, I cared about it for as long as I read about it. And as soon as I stopped reading about it, I was like, okay, well, that's the thing that happened. So, anyway.
Yep. Big gulps, huh?
Airplane
damn,
food.
Damn, man. All right, y'all, man. Let's wrap it up right here, man. Thanks to John Gervais. Thank you, Mariano. Thank you, Mariano's dog. What's the dog's name?
Gambit.
Gambit. Shouts to Gambit. Like X-Men Gambit?
Yep.
Word. Shout out to Black Trey. Shout out to Rob Lopez on the production. This has been Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Like, subscribe, download, tell your friends about it. And don't forget to give us feedback, man, especially if you white and unique explanation about some of these things. Please give us feedback. That's what we're here for. Explain things to white people.